Very good. Okay. Today, I want to go a little further with you into Advent about waiting on the Lord. You remember last week we were looking at what it is to wait for the second coming. It's really waiting on Jesus, which is like being his waiter. Lord, what would you like? That sort of thing, as opposed to just standing there, standing around, whatever. So we want to go a little further with that today. And what we see here is John the Baptist baptizing people in the River Jordan. One of the things that happens in the lectionary for Advent this year is we have this scene as it appears in the Gospel of Mark. And then next week we have the same scene appointed, but it's from the Gospel of John. So what we're going to look at today is that scene and what it means for you and I as far as the kingdom of God goes. Because Matthew, Mark, and Luke are a little more focused on the kingdom of God. And then next week we'll look at the same scene, the same actual thing going on, but from the point of view of the covenant of God, which is what John, when he writes, is about. So it's kingdom and covenant. And you may recall, those are the two main themes in the Bible. And if you can see the passage you're reading, if it's about kingdom, you'll have immediately a deeper understanding. Or if it's about covenant, immediately you'll have a deeper understanding of that. And there's a way deeper you can go beyond that, but that helps you get into it in a way that is very, very helpful. So today we'll be looking at the kingdom. And as I was reading this, I was reminded of something I'd heard some years ago, that today, if you and I want to have a new pair of shoes, we go to the shoe store or the shoe department in the store, and we buy a pair of shoes that was manufactured somewhere else, probably. In Jesus' day, all throughout the biblical period, there was no DSW or any of that. You made your own shoes. That's what you had to do. You had to know how to do it, and they were yours. They looked like your shoes. No one else anywhere had a pair like you had because you made them for yourself. And what you could do is what you did. So we see here today, John the Baptist is baptizing people at the River Jordan. Now, this was a huge ministry, and there may have been, some estimates are 2 million people came out to John the Baptist during the time he was baptizing and had that repentance of sins. Now, it wasn't a one-time baptism, so maybe there were 2 million baptisms or something. You can keep going out because it was for repentance of sin, and then you go and you sin again. You know, so you go back out to John the Baptist, and there you are. But what it was to prepare people for the coming king. And this one particular day, John the Baptist says, there is one coming after me. And in the translation we have here, which is perfectly legitimate, one whose sandals I am unworthy to stoop down and untie. Now, the Greek in Mark, Matthew, Mark, and Luke allows for a translation, which you'll see as often as this one we have here, and that is, I am not fit to loosen the thong of the sandal. Now, I'm going to go with fit, because fit is more of a category that you would be thinking about when you are extending the kingdom of God. And worthiness, which we'll look at next week, is what you think about concerning the covenant of God. More about that next week. So fit, being fit to untie the thong of the sandals of Jesus. Now remember, Jesus would have made his own sandals. And the sandals there represent what you are able to do. Represents the ability that you have. Your own personal ability and skill are all wrapped up into the sandals that you make. The sandals of Jesus are representing what we cannot do, and he can.
They are representing what God is able to do beyond our ability.
And that's why John the Baptist says, I'm not fit to untie the thong of his sandals. Now, you may recall Moses had a similar kind of encounter with God, and there Moses had been 40 years or whatever it was, I believe, tending the sheep of his father-in-law. And there he is on Mount Horeb, a very significant mountain. We'll get into that some other time too. But there's this burning bush. Do you remember that? And the bush was not consumed. So he goes, he thinks, this is one of the weirdest things I've seen, and goes over and sees, why is there flame in this bush and it's not being consumed? And God's voice comes out and says, Moses, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. Moses' shoes represented what Moses was able to do as a man. And he was coming into the presence of God. And you come into the presence of God by what God provides for you, beyond what we are able to do. So all that's represented here. And when John the Baptist is saying that, he's saying, I'm not fit to move into what Jesus is calling me to do on my own. I'm not fit to do that. Now, that is an extraordinary thing for John the Baptist to say, as it would be for us. But one thing that makes John the Baptist saying it stand out is that Jesus says a little bit later, there is no one born of a woman greater than John the Baptist. Do you remember that? One of Jesus' descriptions. Now here's the individual who is above all others individuals. Anyone born ever, John the Baptist is the greatest of them. And he recognizes immediately, I am not fit, even though I am number one, to go into the calling of my own power that Jesus is calling me to. Now, what does this look like? Because what we can be thinking about right now, and this may be crossing your mind, is that we get used to looking at these things through a lens of moralism, right and wrong. If I am wrong, then I am not fit, and therefore I am not able to do what God wants me to do because he's already displeased with me. That you can pretty easily start going down that path. And I want to suggest to you that the sandals of Jesus represent something completely other than what's right and what's wrong. And as I've mentioned to you from time to time before, don't give up on right and wrong. You know, keep doing that. But it's these things of faith there's something else that's at play. So when you are really beginning to engage with Jesus, it will not at all be unusual. In fact, it will be normal for us to have a response to the presence of Jesus that says, I am not fit. I'm not prepared. I don't have what it takes to answer that call. I don't have it within myself to answer that call. That is a normal occurrence. Do you remember Peter on the lakeside when Jesus asked to use his boat? And, so you could teach the crowd that's on Lake Peter, says, sure, here you go. And at the end of the whole incident there, Peter says, get away from me, I'm a sinful man. In other words, I'm not fit to really begin answering what you're asking me to do. I don't have it within myself. So, that's where we are. And if you have ever experienced that, you are absolutely normal and, in fact, in the very place God wants you to be. Because when you begin to recognize you cannot, of your own power, answer what he has asked you to answer, you are in the position then to receive the actual power it takes to answer what he's asking you to answer. The other day I was somewhere where I often stop trying to see if the people who work there would be any more responsive to the faith. And one of the people said, in my religion, you don't have to measure up. And I said, same with mine. And the other employee said, what? What kind of church is that? So this idea, which I'm describing to you, of grace, of the grace of God, giving to you what he supplies for you to answer what he asks. It's of another place. It's not natural in the world, but when we get to that engagement with Jesus, then we have the natural sequence of things that we go through. And one of them is feeling I don't have it of my own, which is what you want so you can move ahead. Now, one of the places where this happens the most often is you having the sense that God wants something to happen. Maybe you've had the sense God wants something to happen in St. Francis. By the way, he does. But he absolutely does. Often he wants something to happen in St. Francis. You have that sense. Or something in your life. Or some provision that can only come from him. Or some healing in a relationship. Or whatever it may be that only God can provide. You have the sense of that. You begin approaching that. You feel like you're almost beginning to touch that. And then this atmosphere, almost a wall of loneliness, begins to surround you, as if no one else knows what that is. No one else has heard that. No one else understands that picture that I see. That is absolutely normal. That's the exact step you take into the presence of God when he calls you into something. He taps you on the shoulder and says, this is it. And you start taking that step and you feel like there's no one walking with you. You feel like you've done everything you can to grab a hold of what God has said. You feel as if you've done every spiritual exercise you know of to get ready to go ahead and do that. You feel as if you've checked everything that you know and looked at all the stuff you understand. And then you even stay late and check it again. And you move ahead and there you are and you don't know what to do next. And you don't know who else knows what to do next. That's the place where you engage with Jesus. That is the moment of grace. And he begins supplying that into you. He begins pouring that into your heart and into your soul. He begins giving you a capacity you did not have to love him with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You begin seeing that maybe, the next step is at hand. And if it's not, you have the strength and ability to wait on the Lord. To just lean in and say, well, Jesus, what would you like now? As you wait for that picture that is given you to come forward, or even to develop more, become sharper and clearer. And the whole reason for that is what we heard from the one who is the greatest of all born among women. I am not fit to lean down and loosen that thong of that sandal, to touch that place that represents what God alone can do. I'm not fit for it. And we become fit by first recognizing that and then leaning into his presence. And what begins to happen is that we get something, we gain something from that, that is beyond the vision he's given us, beyond the calling that he's begun to put on our lives, beyond the desires and longings that we have, beyond the picture we have for our church or our fellowship or our life or our ministry or our healing or whatever it may be. The list can get pretty long. What we gain is that confidence that he desires to be with us. That we've begun to love him because he first loved us. That we've begun following him because he first came running after us. That he desires us. And the way that we get fit then to answer the call, to live into the calling that he's placed upon us, to live a life worthy of that calling, is by leaning into his presence when you pray. And whatever your prayer habit may be, you get up and read a scripture, or look on your phone for the scripture of the day, or whatever it may be. You were drawn to that because God wants to be with you. And one thing you might do is just put that aside for a moment and quietly lean into his presence. And just stay there. Even if it's just for a moment. What happens is you begin getting fit for answering the call. Or when you worship here, when we're gathered here and we're singing, that your heart is turned directly to his presence. However that feels for you, it'd be different for everyone. Remember, the shoes you make are your own. But you turn directly to his presence. And the singing starts, and you have various thoughts. 12 strings out of tune. They didn't know the melody. I didn't know the melody. Or like today, we forgot to put some words in the bulletin. Start thinking about that. I want to encourage you to do this. Put that aside and turn your heart into the presence of God, no matter what. I mean, realistically, you can't run around everyone's bulletin and write it in right at that moment. That if we missed a few words, you just can't do it. But you can lean into the presence of God no matter what, because he is looking for you. And that will make you fit for the calling he's placed in your life. Or when you are together, in other ways, you know, smaller groups of us, or when we're all together for potluck or whatever, or you're just out and around, you begin looking for his presence wherever he may be, through other people, through interruptions, the things that drive you crazy. I mean, he's there. I mean, he's bigger than our preferences. He would be there. So you begin opening the eyes of your heart to his presence wherever you may be. That makes you fit for the calling that he's placed on your life. Because what you're doing is you're beginning to lean and trust in his presence, his work, his provision, and what he has for you to do these things, whatever they may be. What also happens is you begin to welcome the loneliness that you feel when you sense the Spirit of God tapping you on the shoulder and you step into that, looking for that to happen, and it feels like everybody else is still way back there. You begin to welcome that place because that's the place where he begins to meet you
That loneliness is the place where he begins forming your heart at a deeper level. In a way that you are able to sense his presence, follow after him, be his disciple, whatever description kind of catches you. That's where you're able to have that, in that place of loneliness. He meets you there. That's where you wait on him. You feel you're the only one who sees it, who sees what you see, feels what you feel. And that's where you say, Lord, what do you want? That's waiting on the Lord. Remember, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up on wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. And they will walk and not faint. The way into it. Let's stand before the Lord. Lord Jesus, we bless you because you are the one above all others. You are the one, the thong of whose sandals we are not fit to untie. But we wait on you. We lean on you. We look to you. We ask you to form us by your power. Enable us by your Spirit to follow after you all the days of our life. Amen.